All right, I want to get our visual reminders up here this morning. And you guys know where we're at. We're still laying that foundation yet in Genesis 1. We know who God is, but we're still learning about creation from day to day, and we're still on day 3, the second half of that. So I'm going to invite you to turn your Bible this morning to Genesis chapter 1, verse 9 through 13. This morning's verses will be 11 through 13, will be our key, but I'm going to read you the entire day of creation. And then we're going to flip. And I have a typo on here. It's not Hebrews 1 verse 9, but Hebrews 1 verse 3 that I want to read to you this morning. Follow along with me as I read. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees in the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning the third day. Now turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Well, you're about on page about 1860 in your Bible. Now, there's a key phrase that I don't want to look at in here this morning, but you're going to get the entire verse here, which is, this is the goodness of God and Jesus Christ. "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." That's what I want you to hold on to this morning. I'm going to read that again. "Sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." Of course, we know that that verse is talking about Jesus Christ. Let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've read from Genesis today, Lord, of day 3, may you bring that day to life within our own minds. Lord, we are thankful we get to read from your word today. May it speak to us in a new way. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here in your church, those who are at home listening online. Lord, may you bless them in the presence of your Holy Spirit. May you open their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your teaching. Lord, may these words be your words, never mine. And I pray that that same Spirit fill me as I bring your message to your people today. In Jesus I pray, amen. How many of you grabbed a kernel of corn out there this morning? All right, just a couple of you. All right, so you can gather one on the way out as well. Now, we are what I would consider a rural congregation, and we have many farmers in this congregation as well. But I want you to think about this seed that I've given you this morning, this kernel of corn. So get it out of your pocket or your hand, and I want you just to put it in your palm. And I want you to study it for just a little bit this morning, okay? Some of you are digging around your feet already because you've already dropped it, right? So, but if you don't have one, share with your neighbors if you do have one. But I want you to just to look at this seed here this morning, and I want you to see what God has done here with creation, because the third day he created plants. Now, how many of you have driven by a cornfield here? Oh, the middle of August. It's been tasseled out. It's tending 6 to 8 foot tall. It's thick in there. You see how tall that this plant can grow. Now, look at the seed just for a moment. Do you see the seed? In there is a germplasm. In there's also starch that will help that seed grow once it's planted and watered. What is so amazing about this is that the genetic makeup that God put in this one seed will produce a corn plant that you and I see. If I was to write a book on the DNA makeup of this corn, it would take me several pages possibly to write that all out. But God took all that information of what it had to do, how it had to grow, and what it would take to reproduce itself in that one seed. Now, you ask me this question, and I want to ask you this question. Is that a miracle? It is a miracle, if you think about it. I know as a farmer, and I've been there myself, when you put the seed in the ground in the spring, you hope that it does what? Grows. That's a miracle by itself. The faith that you must have in God, our Creator, that you're going to raise a crop off of this one little seed, and that it can produce abundance of what it is here. Maybe even over 100 times. I mean, it is so, and I'm giving you just one seed to think about here this morning. You know, in this seed, some of you are agronomists in here, and I was agronomist as well in my day out of school. This seed, did you know that the first leaf out of a corn plant is called the coleoptile, and it is round as it comes through the ground. But every leaf after that is pointed. Isn't that something? You know what's even more amazing about this? If you think about the corn plant, as it grows in height, it shoots out branch roots to firm itself up in the soil that it doesn't blow over from the wind or storm that comes across. Now, most of the time that works, right, guys? Sometimes we get these crazy storms and it knocks stuff flat. But yet the design that God put in this seed for you and I to realize, and I realize that we've bred this seed well and we've crossed it and we've done different genetic things to it to get what we have today. But yet you need to know that this seed is an original seed, a copy of what God created. I want you to think about the way that God created on day three when it came to plants. So you can keep that seed, and I want you to keep it in your pocket. Take it with you throughout the week. Be reminded of God's goodness of what he created on day three. And so let's jump into the Bible lesson this morning here of what we have going on. Let's just go one screen at a time here. There we go. On day three, God made the first living things. And if you're with me in the Bible this morning, verse 11, it's also on the screen. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. God spoke it into existence. Now, Scripture tells us that God pretty much made three basic types of plants in creation on day three. And you'll get them. They're grasses. They're shrubs and they're trees. Now, if you are technical, I'm going to put broadleafs under grasses, and we'll go with that this morning for you farmers out there today. But God created those types of categories on day three. Now, God did not make seeds and plant them with the hope that they would grow. He established them as mature trees. There were fruit trees that were bearing fruit. Seeds of grass in the fields that were bearing seeds and they were sowing themselves. And I can about imagine that all throughout creation, the entire land was covered with some type of vegetation in some way or some form on day three. Now you might ask, well, how do we know that the fruit was mature? And how do you think we know the fruit was mature this morning, congregation? From what? The seeds, but who ate an apple? What day was that? Nope, not quite. Six. All right. Well, I shouldn't say days because it was actually Adam and Eve were created, and then they had the apple, right? And then, of course, we know that was sinful. But what that is, that's proof for us that on day three that God planted mature types of plants. Okay, when do we get livestock? Animals. 4 and 5, right? Okay, so we see livestock, we see animals. What do animals need to survive besides water, which you talked about last week? They need what? Food, vegetation. And so there would have been grass that would have been edible for animals to be able to eat when they were created on that day. There had to be a food supply. And so when God created on day three, it was mature. It covered the earth. Things that you and I see today are mature trees. Adam and Eve would experience that same thing. Livestock and animals would experience the same thing that you and I see today on day three. And we enjoy copies of those original creations. Now, stick with me here this morning. if you have any of you read through the entire chapter of Genesis 1 yet? Yeah, some of you have. Okay. I'm going to encourage you to maybe do that today or this week if you have time. But I want to bring a couple things out to you here this morning. If you're to read Genesis chapter 1, you'll notice that there is a phrase that is repeated 10 times. All right? Here's the phrase. It's on the screen for you this morning. It's this: according to its kind, or according to their own kinds or various kinds, is what it says in Scripture. So God made plants and animals after their kind. I want to talk to you about what that actually means, because when God starts to be repetitive about something, he says, pay attention here. Notice what I'm doing. Get this. Understand this. Know what's going on. Okay? Now, if you, another word that we could use for kind would be family. Okay? A family or a group is what I want you to understand that as this morning. Now, research shows, and now I want you to get your scientific minds on this morning, and common sense, okay? Research shows that there can be a great variation within a kind or a family, but one kind can never change into a totally different kind. Are you with me this morning? All right? Now, let me go into this just a little bit further and give you an example. A lot of you in here have horses, right? How many of you have horses around here and you enjoy horses? And I know there's quite a few that do back there. So I'm going to pick on the equestrian family here a little bit this morning. But I want you to think about the kinds with me, or the families with me this morning. How many kinds of equestrians are there? All right, so let me give you just a few words. I want you to think about this morning. You have horses, you have donkeys, you have mules, and you have zebras, right? That makes up the equestrian family. Now, within there, I want you to think about, now take just the horse, for example. How many different breeds of horses are there? Many, right? Many. All right, I got just a few for you this morning, just to kind of jog your brain this morning. How many of you ever had a Shetland pony when you grew up? They're just a beautiful animal, aren't they? I'll tell you a story about a Shetland pony that we had when I was growing up. His name was Ginger. Orneriest thing you've ever seen. And when Dad was on the yard looking at him, that horse is perfect. But Dad would go in the shed, and that horse would take off running, and it would do everything in its world to buck us off. And I remember that we had the barn door open in the front of the house, we could be the house maybe. But anyway, the front of the barn, and that horse is up by the house, and Dad set me on him, and the Dad left, and the horse took off in a direct beeline right to the door of the barn. It stopped right there. Guess where I went? Into the barn. On the floor. That was my experience of a Shetland pony, right? We got all kinds of different kinds of horses. You've got quarter horses, you've got draft horses, all those types of things. But what I want you to realize here this morning is that they will always stay in their own kind, won't they? You can't crossbreed a cow and a horse, can you? You can't cross a cat and a dog, can you? Because that's the way that God designed it. That it will always stay within its kind or its family. Think about that for a moment. The world that you and I live in today. Now go with me to the phrase. How many times did I tell you that it's in Genesis 1? 10 times. So God says to you and I in Scripture, according to its kind, 10 times, take note, see what's going on. He's emphasizing to you and I that the plants and the animals were all made as separate kinds. And here's what I'm going to rail against here this morning. None of them evolved from another kind. Evolution does not exist. Right there's your proof. How many of you have been taught in school that we came from another animal called a what? An ape, right? And God says, that is a different kind. You can't crossbreed an ape with a human today and produce something, can you? Because it is a different kind. And that speaks right in the face of evolution. It does not exist according to its kind. God said it to you and I 10 times for that reason. Do you think that God would have known that, you know, man, they're pretty sinful. They're going to come up with some wild, crazy ideas about how this earth came about. But I'm going to try to give them as much knowledge as I can to get them to understand that I am the creator. Various kinds. And God says they'll always stay within their kind. I want you to think about that this morning. Day 3 of creation. Now, I gave you an animal as an example because you understand that very well. But in the plant kingdom, it's the same way. You can't cross foxtail with a sunflower and vice versa in the plant world. You can't cross an apple tree with a peach tree because it's not its kind. And so things don't evolve. Things were created by our God in heaven. I got another interesting story I want to share with you this morning. Let's see here. Why, right here. How many of you have seen a yucca plant before? Yeah. So I'm going to give you another story that talks about plants and the way that God created this morning. All right? Now, they grow out mostly out west. They're in desert-type conditions. Yucca plants, for them to reproduce seeds, it needs to be pollinated just like any other flower. You can see on the screen this morning, I have a picture of a yucca plant there that's actually in bloom with a flower on there. But a yucca plant produces an orange sticky pollen that must go from one plant to the other plant or from the pollen to the seed, whatever, in the plant to reproduce. Now, you know that most other insects, they pollinate other types of flowers and plants in the world that you and I live in today. But a yucca plant doesn't work that way. And here's what I want to share with you this morning. A yucca plant needs a special moth called a yucca moth, which you see on the screen as well. They're not very big, but they need that moth to pollinate it. Nothing else can pollinate a yucca plant. And get this, a yucca moth cannot survive without the yucca plant because that's its source of food. That's all it eats. Isn't that interesting? Evolution can't explain this. They can't figure that out. Most of you have heard of other things that evolution can't explain either, such as the honeybee. Where did that come from? Where did it evolve from? See, evolutionists can't figure that out either. There's no way to trace it back to anything. So I want you to think about the yucca plant today. It was created on day 3, and the yucca moth was created on day 5. To me, this speaks of an infinite God who created living things. And then I want to share with you just a couple of verses. One I don't have on the screen from you, but comes from the book of Colossians 1, verse 17 I want to share with you this morning. Listen closely. Now, you know what I'm talking about here, the yucca plant and the moss and day 3 of creation. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Do you get that? He makes it all possible. He continues to breathe life into it. He maintains the balance in the world that you and I live in. We talked about how infinite that our world is created, right? Here's another verse I want to share with you this morning. Hebrews 1 verse 3, and it's on the bottom of your screen as well. But here's what it says, and this is just a snippet of that verse, not its entirety. But it says that God upholds the universe by the word of his power. He speaks it and it happens. He speaks it and it stays in balance. He speaks it and the yucca plant blooms. He speaks it and the yucca moth does the pollinating for them both to survive. He speaks it, and that kernel of corn that you held this morning, given the right amount of water and air and dirt, grows into this beautiful plant and produces 100-fold. That's the God I'm talking about this morning, that upholds our lives in the world that you and I live in today. By the power of his word. Let me share one other thing with you this morning about day three of creation. We've been talking about the earth as a sphere last week, and I just want to go back. I want to touch on one area that's more of a theological point, but it'll give you some understanding because I think it's good for you to have wisdom. All right? How many of you have read in Revelation 7, verse 1, or you can find it in Isaiah 11, verse 2, where it says, it speaks of the four corners of the earth, right? Now, how do you get corners out of a sphere, right? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever asked somebody to go into a round room and tell them to sit in the corner, right, and watch them go round and round for the day? It's kind of the same principle, right? A sphere, how do you get the four corners out of that? Now, notice I have a picture of an apple up there this morning because it does a good job illustrating this. So when you read, when God puts out in the scriptures that we read to the four corners of the earth, when you take the earth as a sphere and you divide it like an apple into four equal pieces, you get four different parts that are equal. So I want you to think of the world that way. When you dissect that as you get four parts. You get four corners of the sphere. And when you look at that, what that more or less means is that in its entirety, all of earth, when you look at scripture in that context this morning. So when I mentioned to you last week that is the earth flat or round, and we discussed that the Bible says that it is round, correct? It's a sphere. Now when it talks about the four corners of the earth, some people say, well, you mean it's flat? No, I mean it's round, and this is what it looks like. This is how you can understand it in your biblical theology when you come to those types of verses in Scripture. Day three is complete. So this past week, here's my challenge for you today. As you drive home this morning, and it got cold this week. Did anybody notice that? Right? And it froze. And there's not a lot of green stuff to look at right now. But I want you to look at creation from day three as you drive home. And if you live in town and you're only going to go a block, just go around the section. All right? But what I want you to look at is I want you to look at what did God create on day three that I'm not even aware of? The trees you drive by. The ditches that are full of brome grass, the fields that farmers plant every spring and harvest every fall, the flower beds that are around houses that are beautiful. When you drive to different parts of the country, maybe to Sioux Falls, and you see the different things that go on in people's landscaping and the trees that they have, look at the creation that God has brought forth. I got a picture for you up there this morning of a garden. It is amazing, isn't it? The beauty that God gave us on day three, and the variety that we have in the world that you and I live in today. So land has appeared, dry land, and now vegetation has appeared upon the earth, mature vegetation. God's plan for creation is unfolding. The Trinity's hard at work. Day four is on the horizon. And if you know your scripture well enough, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say it's on the horizon. That's next week. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are amazed at your abilities as an infinite God, the way that you create and the things that you bring forth by your word. Lord, the beauty that covers this earth, and we see it in a sinful way. What it must have been like on day three must have been just amazing. Lord, may we not take that beauty for granted. Lord, you blessed us with food supply, with shade, with beauty that can be around our homes and our yards. And Lord, you've given us jobs because of plants, Lord. And so may we just see that in a new way today. We are thankful for day three. Lord, we rejoice in your plans. We are thankful and we rejoice that you uphold everything by your word, by your power. You sustain us even yet today. Lord, may you watch over your people today. We are grateful. In Jesus we pray. Amen.